Hey, welcome back to Well, That's Interesting. I can't handle these types of episodes. Why do we do them? Edition. Today is episode 185. Brightest, fastest growing black hole is terrifying in all the ways. And we need to talk about this unknown object in the Milky Way. My friends, for the past 6 months or so, we've held hands and cried trying to comprehend the kind of news and discoveries pouring out of the field of astronomy. Thanks to supercomputers, AI, and record-breaking machines like the JWST, we are peering deeper than ever into our universe. And what we've found there, as early as 400 million years after the Big Bang, is fucked up. It's exciting, yeah. But there's also all sorts of fuckery. In the first half of episode 154, let's talk about these weird explosions in space, we talked about, well, weird explosions in space that have been dubbed luminous fast blue optical transients, or LFBOTs for short. And they're transient because they're sometimes found outside any galaxy, seemingly exploding in intergalactic space. And that luminous fast blue optical part is thanks to their ability to brighten quickly, like in 3 to 4 days, reaching 70,000 degrees Fahrenheit and thus emitting blue light. And then they just disappear. We don't know why this happens. We just know that they're out there. In episode 138, we found out that black holes can be ejected from their host galaxy and roam the universe like no big fucking deal. And then just the other day, in the milestone episode of 180, researchers have discovered at least 21 overmassive black holes. Not supermassive, overmassive black holes. And they probably formed from the collapse of gaseous clouds of unimaginable proportions. Not supernovas. Well, if you're already feeling overwhelmed, good news. It's not going to stop. I have a feeling this year is going to be hella insane when it comes to deep space news. Which means I've got another two stories for you. In the first half of the show, we're going to talk about a celestial object that is so bright, it was initially mistaken for a star. Upon further review by the perfectly named Very Large Telescope, or VLT, in the Atacama Desert, researchers were like, holy shit. This is actually one of the brightest and fastest growing black holes we've ever seen. In fact, it's the most luminous object in the known universe so far. And yes, coincidentally, it is a black hole. My friends, I have dropped a whole lot of number bombs on you when it comes to black holes, but this thing gets the county blue ribbon for most mind-blowing. The luminosity, the amount of material it's consuming every day, its age, contains numbers in the billions and trillions. With a fucking T, we are in trillion territory now. It's so mind-bending that astronomers not involved with the findings are like, hold up, are you sure? This is insane. So this is a controversial black hole, and I can't wait to dive into it with you. Then after the break, total fucking confusion. An international team of astronomers have found a binary system out there in space, meaning two objects orbiting each other. And well, to put it simply, they know what one of the objects could be, but the other one, it's just a big shrug for now. It could either be the heaviest neutron star ever found so far, or the lightest black hole ever found so far in terms of mass. Or it could be neither. It could be a whole new celestial something. And also fun, it's just a few thousand light years away within our Milky Way. It's literally a neighbor. So, who could be next door? And why exactly, we don't know? Stay tuned. In the meantime, I'm Jill Chacha, and I have a few very special shout outs. Skip, Skip, goddammit. Thank you. Thank you for keeping the lights on. Big fucking thanks for your donation over at Well That's Interesting's Venmo tip jar. You are a legend among heroes. And if anyone else would like to stuff a fiver or whatever down my shirt, there's a link in the episode description. Or you could head on over to Venmo and search Well That's Interesting, all one word. Also, gargantuan thanks to the folks hitting the like buttons, leaving 5 stars, and reviews. I am looking at you, Dr. Sheep, Dr. D.E., and R. Lewis Philly 1 over at Apple Podcasts. Thank you for your reviews and kind words. I read every single one of them. All of this helps the flock grow and find each other. I can't say thank you enough. And, speaking of which, if this is your first time listening, welcome to the flock, my adored business goose. To begin, we're going to take our hands off the steering wheel of our spacecraft, unlock our safety belts, and ignore all the blaring alarms around us. We are heading straight for what Christian Wolff calls, and I quote, the most violent place that we know of in the universe, end quote. The fantastically named Mr. Wolff is lead author of the new study we are covering right the fuck now, and an astrophysicist at Australian National University. He uttered these fine words to Marcia Dunn of the Associated Press. And my friends, I ask, aren't you glad you're here? And would you like to see this truly horrendous place? Ah, I knew you would. Everyone, please prepare yourself and head on over to our social media stuffs over at the Insta, the Twits, or the Threads, whatever. Please tap on today's post. And you know what? I'm going to join you. I'm going to do that as well. And I'll give you a second. Okay. I saw your face. This may not be what you were expecting. Maybe. In fact, you may be a little disappointed. You may be saying to yourself, Jill, come on. We're looking at a ball of light here. What is this, a star? Ah, my beaming business goose. This powerful circle of white light is not a star. Though you be forgiven for thinking it. You're not alone. Its appearance is deceiving for sure. It fooled the best mind in astronomy for over 40 years. We will get to it. Where this unfathomable brightness is coming from is actually a quasar, a type of black hole, 12 billion light years away. Yes, this enormous blinding light is coming from a black hole. Now, you may be asking yourself a number of questions like, what? Excuse me? I'm looking at a black hole? How could a black hole be this bright? How much fucking material must this thing be consuming for it to emit energy that could be mistaken for a star? And one that's 12 billion light years away? Well, I am so very glad you asked. My friends, we need to tell this thing's story. Also, side note, props to the red dwarf star in the foreground there. Do you see it? It's a little orangey red circle to the right. Okay, this thing photobombed probably one of the most terrifying things known to humankind. Fucking well done, little red dwarf star. Okay, moving on. My friends, this quasar's discovery actually begins in the beautiful Bafont year of 1980. When not only was the hair large, but the computers as well. Now, if you're a longtime listener of this show, you know humans have a unique compulsion to name and map everything before them, including every object overhead. It's a daunting task now, but back in 1980, it was even more so, as astronomers had to sit the fuck down and look through their telescopes and manually scan the heavens. Thus took place at the ESO Schmidt Southern Sky Survey, a telescope in Australia, whose researchers dedicated their days to mapping the southern hemisphere's, sky. On one fine day, this big ball of light was seen, the very same we just looked at, and a decision had to be made. Its luminosity being so magnificent, it could only be one of two things. It's either a star or a quasar, which I said a moment ago is a black hole, but a very special kind of hole. These are supermassive black holes. I'm talking about holes with a mass ranging from millions to tens of billions of solar masses. Now, the gravitational pull of that mass drags in nearby stars and just about everything else, including light. But, like a drain in a bathtub, only so much material can go down the drain at a time. Ever notice a swirling ring around a bathtub? Think of this as a black hole's accretion disk. That's where all the material that hasn't been consumed swirls and gets torn apart while it awaits finally being crushed into infinitely smaller matter. Within that accretion disk, along with being torn apart, the countless billions of loose particles slam into each other, and all this chaos emits energy in the form of radiation, X-rays, and, yeah, light. A fucking lot of light. So, these horrifying black holes, which power these even more horrifying glowing accretion disks, are called quasars. Hello. Now, back to our photo, back to that big, very big ball of light in the sky. You know what? The researchers thought, it's too bright. No quasar has ever been this bright, so let's just play it safe. It must be a star. And so it was. Our ball of light was labeled J0529-4351, a star among millions. As the years went by, and as technology advanced in speediness, humans found a way to map and name things quicker with machine learning models. It's great. It's really great. All you gotta do is aim your telescope at a massive section of the sky, plug in all the info we already know about stars and quasars, including all the clickety-clack calculations we use to determine what falls into these categories, and you add all the predetermined stars and the predetermined quasars. With all of this info, AI can find and map stars and quasars with no problem at all, and in like seconds. Yeah, finger guns, pow pow. I could hear you from here, I know. My witty business goose, you're screaming, wait, hold on. These models are trained on existing data, which limits objects to those already known. Which means if a quasar is brighter than any other previously observed quasar, the program might reject it, right? Damn. You're good. And yes, you're right. That's exactly what happened. Year after year, machine learning models continually passed over J0529-4351 for being too bright to be a quasar, suggesting it to be a star instead. In fact, just a few years ago, it was reconfirmed as a star by the European Space Agency's GEA satellite. But in 2023, something magical happened. Humans decided to give the catalog of quasars and stars a second look. And boy howdy, the sky as we know it has officially changed. Thanks to some new clickety-clack calculations by the folks over at the Siding Spring Observatory in Australia and the Very Large Telescope in Chile. Yes, that is its very real name. Light was shed on J0529-4351's true identity, no pun intended. Quote, "It is a surprise that it has remained unknown until this day. It has been staring us in the face until now," said co-author Christopher Onken, an astronomer at Australian National University. My friends, I'm gonna need you to sit the fuck down and hold on. The number bombs I'm about to drop on you are too large to imagine. We're gonna try, and it's possibly and probably gonna hurt. J0529-4351, who I'm just gonna call Joe from now on, is a black hole that came into existence 12 billion years ago. Now, either from a supernova or from an imploding gaseous cloud, we're not sure, but here's what researchers of this discovery suggest. after formation, the mass of the black hole created... Sorry, delete. Let's do that again. After formation, the mass of the black hole created an accretion disk 7 light years across. 7 light years. For context, 7 light years is about 15,000 times the distance from the sun to Neptune, which is basically our solar system. So it's 15,000 times wider than that. Good news. The impossibleness gets so, so much worse from here. The black hole itself is estimated to have a mass of about 17 billion suns. Yes, did you say, like, what the fuck? What? I can't with that number. The audacity of this thing to be that big. Just for shits and giggles, I looked up the size of the black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy, and it's a scant 4 million times the size of our sun. It just take a fucking seat, you know? Like, the black hole at the center of a giant-ass galaxy named M87 in Virgo, that one is 6.5 billion suns. Again, this one blows these black holes out of the water. 17 billion suns. Joe is so much bigger. So you may be asking, how did it get so fucking heavy? This is a great question. Well, 12 billion years ago, the universe was a toddler. And just like a toddler, it was a bit of an unorganized mess. Galaxies attempted to form, as did stars. Massive gaseous clouds were abundant. Early black holes, like Joe, it's believed, had a field day on this loose material. Joe was in the right place at the right time, it seems. My friends, that 7 light-year-long accretion disk was so full of shattered material waiting to be consumed. After 12 billion years, the light and energy from that disk finally hit our telescopes, and the luminosity numbers came in. It's 500 trillion. I'll say that again, 500 trillion times brighter than our sun. I know. Me too. It's a lot, and it's so a lot. This officially makes J0529-4351 the brightest object in the known universe so far. There's more. It gets better, by the way, or worse, depending on how you look at this thing. Mr. Wolf told the New York Times the quasar's black hole would have doubled every 30 million years, which would have allowed the black hole's mass to have grown to 17 billion suns within just 3 billion years after the Big Bang. At its largest, it was consuming as much as 413 suns each year, or about a sun a day. It was consuming a sun's worth of energy and material a day. Which means, you know, bust out another blue ribbon, not only for the most luminous quasar and the brightest object in the known universe, but for the fastest growing black hole ever documented. So far, this is a sun a day? Oh God, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming, even for astronomers. The peers of Mr. Wolf and his team are lining up to take their second look at Joe to confirm or debate its size, as everything seems so extra. Quote, they may have the right value, but I don't think other observers would be shocked if it turned out the true mass was somewhat less, said the appropriately named Daniel Holes with a Z, a theoretical astrophysicist at the University of Chicago. Daniel said this to Dennis Overby of the New York Times. It does seem like an extreme object, but he added, I would be shocked if this turns out to be the most luminous quasar in the sky, end quote. Chung Pei Ma, Tung Pei Ma, an astrophysicist at the University of California, Berkeley, was also reached out for comment, saying these estimates could be off by a factor of 2 or 3. Even so, 2 or 3, I mean, come on, my teeny business goose, that still makes Joe a fucking unit. Well, I call it a unit anyway. Jenny Green, a professor of astrophysical sciences at Princeton University, Jenny called the results, and I quote, cute. I don't know Jenny, but damn, Jenny. I would love to know what an impressive size is for Jenny. After the break, we are switching gears and reversing course. We are heading on back to the Milky Way, where in its outskirts lies a tiny mystery. Get ready for even more bizarre shit from the universe. Stay tuned.
If you like small town mystery, crazy news, and wild history, then the Florida Men on Florida Man podcast is for you. Each week, Josh Mills and Wayne McCarty bring you the absolute best Florida has to offer. So if you're looking for a show that's safe for the family, but funny enough to help you escape everyday life, then listen to the Florida Men on Florida Man podcast. That's Florida Men, plural, on Florida Man podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And we're back. We are so back. And my friends, we are starting off this segment of the show with a very different photograph. So please, drop the baby you're holding, take your eyes off the road, whatever it is you're doing, it can wait. Head on over to our social media stuffs, swipe past Joe, and you shall see quite a cluster. I'm actually going to go ahead and do that here myself. Yeah. If you're thinking, damn, this photo kind of looks like a snapshot of Paris or New York taken at night from a plane, you wouldn't be too far off. This, my popular business goose, is one of the densest collections of stars in our galaxy, NGC 1851. It's only a wee 40,000 light years or so away, which, in terms of distance in space, means NGC is basically the next town over. And this town is a bustlin'. Technically called a globular cluster, it is packed so tightly with old, ancient stars, astronomers have observed actual collisions and frightening near misses of orbits that are basically intertwined. This part of our Milky Way puts on a good show, to say the least. With so many celestial bodies so close together, researchers have the goddamn time of their lives watching who does what to whom and why. And I think I just made this pervy. Yeah, a little bit. Okay, anyway, what I mean to say is that NGC is the place to go if, as an astrophysicist, you want to see some crazy shit. And hopefully, some new crazy shit. Astrophysicists like Ewan Barr and Arunima Duda of the Max Planck Institute for Radio Astronomy, and astrophysicist Ben Stappers of the University of Manchester. It was these three, along with a slew of additional international astronomers, who stumbled upon something truly bizarre. Well, half of it is truly bizarre anyway. While using the Meerkat radio telescope in South Africa to scan NGC's back alleys, the group first discovered a millisecond pulsar, Okay, what in the holy hell is that? Don't worry, I've got you. I asked the same thing. Well, it all starts when a massive supergiant star, I'm talking one 10 to 25 times the size of our sun, runs out of fuel and goes supernova. Enormous amounts of material are cast off into space, but the rich, heavy, and I mean all caps, heavy core is left behind. Now, please lean in, as this part of the story is oh so important. When that core is 5 solar masses or more, usually a black hole forms. When that core is 2.2 solar masses or less, something called a neutron star is formed. Now, get this. Your average neutron star is only about 13 miles in diameter, or about 20 kilometers. But like I said, the mass can be up to 2.2 times that of our sun. To fit all that mass into such a tiny space, just 13 miles, every single particle needs to be packed as tightly and as closely as possible. Essentially, every proton and electron is crushed into one big neutron. Hence, neutron star. And because things tend to spin when they're out there in space, so do neutron stars. On occasion, they spin so goddamn fast, they're called millisecond pulsars. Now, according to the Center for Astrophysics, these babies are rare. There are only about 3,000 known millisecond pulsars, and our team just found a new one. And this one girl, she is a doozy, named PSR J0514-4002E. She's out there spinning 170 revolutions per second. What? And that's a lot. And we know this thanks to the radio waves she's emitting at precisely timed intervals. However, yes, it begins. However, the team noticed every 7.44 days, there was a slight, ever so slight change to her spin or radio pulse. It looked as though our tiny dancer had a partner. There was another object out there close enough to alter her rotation, which meant these two objects were orbiting each other, forming what's called a binary system. And if you're dying to know who the other half is, you're not alone. The team went to work, starting with that incredibly reliable radio wave. Quote, With this pulsar's timing data, the researchers were able. I literally chewed all of those words. And I'm sorry you had to hear that. I'm going to try that again. Quote, with this pulsar timing data, the researchers were able to calculate the distance to J0514, the mass of the pulsar, and the mass of the binary system as a whole. By subtracting the mass of the pulsar, they were able to determine the mass of the mystery object. End quote. From the also very appropriately named Michelle Starr of sciencealert.com. What is going on? Not only with my mouth, but these names. So, my luscious business goose, you may be thinking, once we know the mass, right, we'll have an idea of who's out there. Right? Well, yes, that was the plan. But things suddenly did not go to plan. Remember when I mentioned when a remnant core is 5 solar masses or more, usually a black hole forms? And when that core is 2.2 solar masses or less, a neutron star forms? Well, yeah, there happens to be a little funny gap between the two, and guess who just fell into that gap? Yes, this tiny dancer's partner. My friends, this object has a solar mass of 2.76, which means it could either be the heaviest neutron star found so far, or the faintest black hole ever found so far. Or neither. It could be something completely new. Quote, we're not done with this system yet. Arunima Dutta told ScienceAlert.com. Uncovering the true nature of the companion will be a turning point in our understanding of neutron stars, black holes, and whatever else might be lurking in the black hole mass gap. End quote. Oh my god. My friends, are you as fucking excited as I am? This means there is a hole between neutron stars and black holes. I'm so excited I can't get it right. This means this is another opportunity to talk about holes on this show. Yeah, and I, for one, cannot wait to see what's going to fill this hole. What is wrong with me? I don't... So watch this space. We're going to find out what lives in this gap. See, I said gap and not hole. I'm getting better. Thank you for listening, rating, subscribing, donating. Skip, I'm talking to you, buddy. Thank you. Leaving reviews. Thank you. Telling your friends. Tell your friends about the horrifying black hole that's out there, 12 billion light years away. That it doesn't have to be that big, but it is. There's also something unknown that's like right around the corner. We'll find out soon what that is, and there'll be another episode, and I'll talk about it, and I'll be just as horrified. And a Joe-sized thanks to the folks over at Airwave Media, the podcast network to which WTI belongs. If you love this show, and you do, you'll love the other podcasts in this family. And please, stay interesting.